The following podcast contains mature language and spoilers. Listener's discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I'm Luke Machine, and these two gentlemen with me here. Who's this first guy I'm talking to?
Diablo Frank.
And who's this other guy over here?
Mr. Fix-It.
And today we're going to talk about Disney Plus's Loki, which just concluded today.
Loki.
It was a six-part miniseries on Disney Plus starring Tom Hiddleston as Tom Tim. I always screw this up, dude, every time. The dude's name is Tom, right?
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston.
Tom, not Tim Hiddleston. It's Tom.
No, that's one of the variants. Tim is the variant.
Tim, yeah, that's right. Tom Hiddleston. And other people. Owen Wilson and some other folks.
Wow.
He didn't give us a wow in this movie. I'm very upset about that.
He was playing against type to some degree in this one.
Yeah, but
playing much older and much stiffer. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this six episodes. This is the third Disney Plus show that we have covered so far. We covered Scarlet Vision? What was it called? WandaVision.
Yeah.
Scarlet and the WandaVision.
I don't think you quite have your A game on this particular one, unfortunately.
And look, man, I'm on my third drink here. And what was the other one called? It wasn't Falcon.
Falcon Winter Soldier.
Hey, look, yeah. I got that. And this one's just called Loki. Anybody want to recap this like super fast?
I know what this place is. The timekeepers have built quite the circus. And I see the clowns are playing their parts to perfection. Big metaphor guy. I love it. Makes you sound super smart.
I am smart.
I know.
Okay.
Please sign to verify this is everything you've ever said.
This is absurd.
Sign this too.
We protect the proper flow of time. You picked up the Tesseract breaking reality. I want you to help us fix it.
Why me?
I need your unique Loki perspective.
Do I get a weapon?
Nah.
Believe in this Loki variant?
Luckily, he believes in himself enough for the both of us. Why?
It is adorable that you think you could possibly manipulate me. I'm 10 steps ahead of you.
You're not big on trust, are you?
You can trust me.
Loki, I've studied almost every moment of your entire life. You've literally stabbed people in the back like 50 times.
Why never do it again?
This one I'll go for because I think there's too many opportunities for wild tangents. Essentially, as seen in Avengers Endgame, when the Avengers go back in time to cause changes, specifically during the Battle of New York, Loki manages to get a hold of the Tesseract and get himself out of the time stream. Therefore, you have a version of Loki that doesn't go on to fight Thanos and die. And because of this, he's causing problems by creating a tangent timeline, something not unlike, say, a Donnie Darko, for instance, and it's going to cause major problems. And there's a time variance authority, and they're whole job is to go around and find shit like that and prune it to make sure it never happens, or rather to maintain a singular timeline rather than having it branch off in all kinds of crazy different directions. And so Loki is arrested. He's taken to a place where his godlike powers are not in effect anymore, where they treat Infinity Stones like paperweights. They're just worthless. They have no value. And he's tried, convicted, convicted and essentially is coerced into working for the Time Variance Authority to go after somebody who's running around killing their agents. I should point out that this is a somewhat fascistic organization while also simultaneously being a bureaucracy, and the aesthetic of the entire building is very 60s. And there's also like a little floating timepiece that is sort of like a hippie from Microsoft, you know, who like just shows up and tells you information, played by Tara Strong, a very famous voice actress. And so Loki is traveling with his new partner, Morpheus, who is a played by Owen Wilson, of course, who's a very beloved Texas actor, and immediately wins over a chunk of audience that might not otherwise have liked the show by his mere presence. And they jump around trying to find this killer who ends up being a variant version of Loki, specifically a female version. And over the course of the series, we actually find out there are many dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of different versions of Loki. Fat, skinny, hairy, bald, Asian, black, evil, goodish. You've got the, again, carrying on the Mummy. You've got Rachel Weisz in Black Widow, and you've got her brother from the Mummy playing Loki on this show, the classic superhero comic book Loki. Huh?
Classic Loki.
Yeah, the very classic, Richard E. Grant. And these people go through a bunch of adventures, and Loki has this journey of the self and is trying to get away from being the mischievous asshole that he's been throughout the movies, and is confronted with a lot of the things about himself that just don't seem to work. And eventually he and this Loki variant, rather than fighting each other, team up to try to take down this authoritarian presence, the Time Variance Authority, and give, you know, themselves the opportunity to have the life that was taken from them by this authority.
Are you breathing or are you done?
Oh, I'm done. Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think called Morpheus. It's Mobius. It's not Sorry. Morpheus. It's not the Matrix. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's about it.
It's not a DC book.
What, I mean, but you didn't.
Well,
you
the funny the thing episode? Is.
You're not going to say what the payoff was?
Or well,
what?
I just want to say, weirdly, just a complete coincidence, I was working on another project. And so I was looking through the book Countdown, a much maligned weekly event series from over a decade ago. And it's basically the same fucking plot, down to there being multiple versions of one particular character and a fight to prune all these different evil or different versions of this character and shit. And, you know, you have this authority that's going around and destroying what they call, I think, aberrance rather than variance. And it's just weird how much Countdown shit ended up in Loki of all fucking things. I did not see that shit coming.
Very strange. But, I mean, you didn't finish, like, the last episode, what the payoff was.
Well, I thought that we would talk about it a little bit first before we go into the big reveal at the very end.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so, I mean, how do you want to talk about it? Like, can I just say, I think visually, this is one of the better, like, television shows I've ever seen. Can I say that? Like,
not Marvel shows, but television shows.
Like, television shows. Like, when they were on what was the planet where there was the Nexus event where the that moon was shattering and was falling on the planet and nobody was going to escape? That was, like, Starlin-esque. I was just staring at this, because the moon throughout the episode, or two episodes, is just getting closer and closer and closer, and there's more and more just chaos everywhere. I'm like, dude, this is like a Fifth Element sequel or prequel or something.
Fifth Element is a good catch. Yeah, I'd say that.
Like, I'm like, this isn't a Loki. This isn't just a television show with Loki in it. Like, this is outrageously good. And I love the aesthetic. I love the TVA. I love the weird retro 60s, tube televisions everywhere, and everybody sort of dressed like they're working in an office building in the 60s.
The fact that one of the recurring locations is a library just fucking gets me hot. I miss libraries so much.
Oh, hell yeah. You like that? You want the Dewey? Where was Dewey Decimal? You like the Dewey Decimal?
Yeah, he puts Dewey in Dewey Decimal, yeah. Whichever and way, whether it's ooey gooey or doing the Dewey.
I thought that Laffy and Tom Hiddleston's Loki, I dug that whole, and it's weird that they did all this in only six episodes, because it certainly kind of feels, when you, everything that happened in it, it's like long, like the reveal.
They get a lot of distance throughout, like there's a lot of shit. A lot of the, look at the Netflix shows, where it's constantly, it feels like bottled episodes, they're constantly in the same place over and over again, saying the same things over and over again. Where with this one, it just moves. They're going to fucking, they're going to different timelines, they're going to different worlds. All the locations look different, but there's also a visual consistency. And it was much more stylized than we're used to from any of the Marvel products so far.
Yeah, totally. And like the whole mystery at who this other Loki variant is that they're hunting, thing, that feels like it was a whole other season. Because eventually it turns out that it's Luffy, and then they team up, and they have all these adventures teamed up. And it's like,
you keep saying Luffy, though. It's Sophie.
It's Sylvia. It's Sylvia.
Sophie. Why did I think Luffy? Where am I getting Luffy from?
That's the last name of Loki.
That's the Loki.
Like Lawson or something.
We just recorded another podcast before this one, folks. I'm like three drinks in.
So it's
I don't even know how I'm speaking right now. Yeah, Sylvie, sorry. I don't know how, like, the reveal that it was Sylvie feels like that was the end of a whole season. And they started a whole other season where they were like good cop, bad cop, like buddy, traversing the universe and the time stream. But this all took place in six episodes. Really, it all took place in five episodes.
Part of what's great is they spend so much time setting up the time variance authority in the first episode. And we spend a couple of episodes really getting into their lore and all their locations. And you get the sense of this is going to be this buddy show with Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston throughout the whole thing. And then it just fucking jumps rails early on and does a whole other thing. And then a couple other things besides.
Yeah. And that's right. It's like the first season was Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston hunting Sylvie. Jesus Christ, please help me. They're hunting her. And then the next season is the fallout from the TVA of, you know, of Mobius's find character.
Where they find out everyone's variants. And
yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this all took place
fake.
Took place in five episodes. And really, one of the episodes was a shortened, like, 30-minute episode where they were trying to get off that Nexus event. Very bizarre. Like, I don't know how they did.
The thing of it is, both WandaVision and Falcon the Winter Soldier feel like one really long movie. Or again, as you said, one short season. Where Loki feels like very substantial. There's just so much going on. And they're telling one story, but they're also seemingly telling multiple stories. I think that's very much to its benefit. I think that as much as they try to talk about the production values on the first two shows, I think it really shows up in this one. This feels like a movie, and it doesn't feel like just one movie. It feels like multiple movies. It feels like you're getting the first two movies in the Loki franchise rather than a TV season.
And can I point out one thing that I absolutely loved? Did you guys look at the shirt Loki was wearing in most of this, in his TVA uniform? Did you look at the shirt?
I mean, I saw the shirt, but what's special about it besides it's the ladies like how form-fitting the outfit is, let me tell you.
The collar isn't a collar. Mm. The collar is sewn into the shirt, and it comes down over his pectoral muscle. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. If you have a chance to freaking Google his shirt, I don't even know how the physics of it work. But I was like staring at, like, it's an incredible detail where it looks like he's just wearing like a business shirt, except the collars are actually like 3 feet long and they're sewn down into the shirt. It's incredible. People, go look at Loki's shirt. It's outrageous. I was staring at it for freaking like five episodes.
Also, he's somehow wearing sexy Dockers. It's like these really form-fitting Dockers. So it's like he's simultaneously kind of a nerd, and yet like the women are like really into, you know. So I don't, the physics of his outfit, he should look like a dork, and yet somehow it works for him.
Yeah, and also they put Loki, the god of mischief, you know, thou sayest thou wearest those, you know, thou mother's drapes. I'm sorry, I've been drinking, people. I can't talk. You know, all the Shakespearean stuff. Instead, they dress him up in like a X-Files FBI outfit for like the whole show, and I'm like totally bought in on it. And I'm
he's like a manager at a Best Buy without the polo shirt. You know, he's not dressed cool at all, but somehow it works.
For a while, he's got the FBI jacket on. This is what it, doesn't it say like variant on the back?
It says variant on the back. Yeah,
the sign on the back of his.
First season. You're getting confused.
Oh, that's right. That was before the events of the first season concluded. I thought that this. At first, I was like, dude, they're trying to do way too much in six episodes. And then after they wrapped up the sixth episode, I was like, cool. Like, no, this was good. This was like 45 with one shortened to like 30-minute episodes. I thought the show looked great. I'm in on all the characters. And I guess I know you two haven't talked at all about this yet. I have. And the fact that this is the first of these three shows that actually paid off the ending.
Oh, yeah.
Which is weird because it also does not resolve a ton of shit at the same time.
Right.
Well, I kind of liked that. It didn't feel rushed at the end. Where the other two felt rushed, like we gotta finish up our story arc. This one actually was like, they left you on a cliffhanger for the next season.
And I think some of it's because there's going to be an official second season. Scarlet Vision or WandaVision. Jesus Christ. WandaVision, that's it. I think they said they're just doing the one season.
If they did a second season of WandaVision, I would find that to be personally torturous. So I'm just in no way inclined toward toward that.
I just got a quick question though. That was Kang, right? The Conqueror?
Yeah.
The actor that's going to play Kang the Conqueror?
Yes. He's the dude from Lovecraft Country. He was cast as Kang, correct? This was a big thing. I didn't think he was showing up in the show. I thought it was going to be something stupid. And I'd seen some real.
Well, everybody thought it was going to be another Mephisto or whatever.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
The letdown of WandaVision tapered my expectation. I'm like, dude, there's no way they're doing all this time shit and they're going to actually reveal Kang, because I've heard Kang is supposed to be one of the big baddies for the next phase of the Marvel Universe. That could be completely wrong. I don't know if that's true. Maybe the payoff is Kang's just going to be in a couple Loki shows. That could be it too. That would kind of suck. But when he showed up in that last episode, I like gasped. Like my wife was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "They did it. Like he's actually, it's of course, it's a time. It's fucking time. You got to have Kang in it." But I didn't think they were actually going to do it, and they did it, and I was extremely happy about that. Now I also
remains last.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Like, do we know who Renslayer is? The head of the TVA.
We just have to point out the name Kang is never uttered, and I think that it's going to be very important going forward.
Well, he refers to himself as the Conqueror.
The asshole.
He says he has many names, and it's because he is actually probably not really Kang. Kang is going to be a variant. What one of his other, like, I mean, he tells them in the final episodes, like, don't kill, or the final episode, you know, you can kill me, and I'm, you know, you can kill Satan, but then you risk something worse. I think something worse is going to be Kang.
Right? If you hang Saddam Hussein, you don't know whether or not ISIS is going to come up in the rear.
Right, exactly. And he doesn't call himself Kang because we don't actually see Kang. Kang is the head of the new TVA. Well,
and it was really important to me too because the character as presented on the show got on my fucking nerves almost immediately.
I knew it.
And I was just like, please God, don't let this be what Kang is going to be. But as we get him doing his ego, you know, let me do the exposition. Marvel has its own style of exposition dump now, and always seems to involve these like liquid ceramic representations to visually show you shit that's going on. And he explains, you know, again, that there's all these different versions, and that goes with the Marvel continuity as well. You don't just have Kang, you have Immortus, and you have Rama Tut, and all these different versions of the character. So it makes perfect sense that we're seeing a version of a character that is going to be Kang, but he's intentionally playing this completely differently than he would play Kang, because that's going to be another version. And I'm looking forward to seeing him portray Kang the Conqueror, but the one who remains, fucking, I was so glad when he fucking died, because I hated that fucking character and I needed him to go. Way too much like Benicio del Toro collector energy off this motherfucker, but not even.
Yeah, I was like that at first, but then I was kind of thinking about it, like, do we need another all-powerful being who just talks like, I am Kang the Conqueror, I manage the timeline? I don't think we need that either, because that kind of is a trope too. All these giant supervillains, cosmic global supervillains, talk exactly the same. So if it turned out that because he manages the timeline and he's all by himself, he's actually fucking insane, I was like, okay, I might be able to buy into this. And then they killed him. So I doubt the next version of him is exactly the same as this version. So you're probably going to be off the hook on that one. At first it bothered me, and then I was like, you know what? All these dudes can't talk exactly the same. So if he's got to have a little screw loose, it could probably be, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think that was the whole point of showing all the different Loki. So you're going to get a different Kang. I mean,
exactly, right. All the Lokis were totally different too. So
I mean, for all we know, Kang could be a woman, a completely different. I mean, who knows? That's the cool thing about it.
No, he's Kang. I think contractually.
I have to say, I was also very relieved that we're not going to be introduced to the concept of Kang in a fucking Ant-Man movie.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I'm down with that. More quantum bullshit. Yes, the word quantum was never mentioned in this entire show, which automatically makes it the best Disney Plus show to date so far.
And you just jinxed it.
Oh, damn. No, it's not. It's over. They didn't mention now. Second season, maybe they'll mention some quantum bullshit. I don't know. Maybe Michelle Pfeiffer will pop up and just like stand around.
Oh God, I hope not.
No, but I just want to say I really like this show, you guys, and I
enjoyed it quite a bit.
I just like visually, I was like, I liked it. I liked all the characters. I liked Sylvie, even though I forgot her name. I really, the first few episodes, the Owen Wilson Loki dynamic, the Mobius Loki dynamic, was fantastic. I was genuinely not sure where the fuck this show was going. I had no clue. A lot of that maybe because of my ignorance of some of the characters that were in it. Like, if you really know who Renslayer is in the comic books, you're gonna spoil how much of this shit for yourself. And if you don't know who Renslayer is, don't Google it, because you're gonna spoil some shit.
And I like that you mentioned this too. The fact that you didn't know where the fuck this thing was going. going, and I didn't either. And people kept talking about how, oh, it was so wild and crazy, WandaVision, I didn't know what was happening. And the whole time, I'm like, it's a fucking sitcom, you fucking morons. That's all they're doing is a sitcom pastiche. This show legitimately kept you on your heels the whole fucking time, you know?
Yeah, it was, this is like legit, this is a legit sci-fi show.
Well, like, and while I was watching it too, I wasn't sure how people were going to react amongst us, I mean, but I had a gut feeling that Fixit was going to dig it because there's a lot of Terry Gilliam in this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's got a Time Bandits vibe to it.
Yes, very much so, yeah. Ah, yeah, you know what? I didn't think about that, yeah.
There was a moment where I was like, this show is running out of time to really start wrapping up some threads, but it did it. And the fact they teased season two helps too. But I was satisfied. A lot of exposition there in the last episode, but again, it paid off because I got Kang, okay? So this is something that I know is going to be big across this MCU. This isn't, you know what I'm saying? If it would have turned, I heard one person's theory that when Sylvie and Loki were on the train headed, you know, to what they call it, like the mothership or whatever.
The ship that was going to take everybody away before they died. They never took off anyway. So not only were going to have to reach the ship, they're having to figure out a way to make it go away without getting blown up.
And they're talking about each other's families. And so Loki asks, you know, Sylvie, like, what about your mom? And she gives something like, I don't want to talk about her, or she was like a horrible person. Somebody's theory was that it was her mom that was the timekeeper and had destroyed her own timeline, and she was basically getting revenge on her mom. And I'm like, wow, that would fucking suck.
Bullet dodged.
But would totally have been on brand for these Disney Plus shows where it's like, you think we're going to get Kang the whole time, and instead it's fucking Sylvie's mom, you know, and there has to be some moment where Loki has to kill his own mom again. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's totally what could have fucking happened in the show. And the fact that it didn't was even like, oh my God, not only did that not happen, but it was actually Kang. And I'm like, okay, good. Okay, this is how I've expected these shows to go. And this one actually paid something from the comic books off. Whether this was is the TVA in the comic books at all?
Yeah.
Is this a thing?
Apparently the one who remains is from the comics, the TVA. Mobius is apparently a version of Mark Gruenwald inserted into the comic books from Quasar. The one who remains is from Thor, apparently. I don't know about the daughter character. I know that she exists in the comics, but I don't know anything about her because I didn't want to spoil anything from the TV show for me. Where the other ones were much more tangential as hardwired into it, so I didn't feel like I was going to spoil myself on anything.
I know the big cloud monster was in the comic. He exists. Thor exists.
Yeah, the variants are in the comic books because they had that whole series where he was a kid and they had him adapted into there.
And this show did a good job too of being like so oddball, but also giving us the, you know, we got the original Loki. You had Frog Thor in a jar.
Was voiced by Chris Hemsworth as well.
Was he really?
Yeah, he did it for free, and apparently he was in a studio in Australia and he's doing all the grunts and stuff. So they're saying there's an actual Thor appearance in this movie.
That's awesome. And I get that, you know, Mobius is a throwback to Gruenwald, because Gruenwald like basically write the fabric of time travel for the Marvel Cinematic Universe or for the Marvel Universe.
It was so weird with Gruenwald because he is kind of Mr. Marvel and he was the driving force behind the official handbook of the Marvel Universe and shit. But one of his weird kicks was that he was constantly putting DC shit in the Marvel Universe. And so, yeah, all that stuff in Quasar, him doing his Green Lantern riff, that was all coming out of that. And I don't know if he was the one who inserted himself into the book, but somebody related to Quasar dropped him in there, you know, for all this stuff where, again, you have all the multiple timelines and somebody has to oversee all that shit. That all came from him.
It kind of makes me want to read some TVA comic books. Like, I don't know. I dug it. I really like this show. It didn't tie up all the loose ends, but then I was happy to see that there was going to be a Loki returns in season two. I'm like, okay, cool. We can kind of continue some more of this stuff. I don't have to get mad that, well, where did Renslayer go? She just walked out. We never get any explanation. Like, okay, we're going to get some more. I don't have to wait for some fucking movie to explain it all. So anyway, I liked it, guys. I thought it was cool. It's definitely my favorite of these Marvel shows so far. Absolutely. And I don't think that it's some coincidence either that, look, dude, Tom Hiddleston's freaking badass as Loki. This dude is so good. He steals every movie he's in.
A Robert Downey Jr. moment where it's like no other actor can play that character.
For sure, dude. I don't know how long they got this dude tied up in a contract, but
I haven't seen him in any movie, so I don't see him going going anywhere anytime soon.
They got to milk this dude because he is everything he does is just he's fantastic. He's great as this character. Who would ever thought freaking Loki would be the cornerstone of the Marvel Cinematic Universe from it's freaking Loki. It's Loki. He's so good. And I thought the look of the show was fantastic, as we've said a million times. The story was interesting. It had the payoff at the end. This checked all my boxes I was looking for. And for the blueprint, blueprint of these Disney Plus movies, this is exactly what I was looking for. Exactly. I don't want it to be any more episodes. I don't want it to be any less episodes. These six episodes are good. It had a mysterious time, a storyline that I wasn't quite sure where it was going, even though I read comic books, and there was a payoff. That's it. This is what I want, people. This is what I want.
Well, much like with Kang, when they were going to cast Loki, I was wanting something a little bit more like a straight villain. And, you know, Kenneth Branagh did the first Thor movie. And one of the people that they were talking about in the early days for casting Loki was Josh Hartnett. And I was very into that because I had seen a movie called O, which was like a modern day retelling of Othello. It was like, it was a thing at the time period because you had like 10 Things I Hate About You was a remake of The Turning of the Shrew. You had Cruel Intentions was a remake of Dangerous Liaisons, that kind of shit.
I didn't think you were gonna make it.
Oh, come on now. You know I can't beat Magnolia tomorrow. I don't see my good luck charm first.
His name is Odin James. But everyone calls him O. A star player in love with the most popular girl in school.
This year's unanimous choice for most valuable player, Mr. Odin James.
I love you.
I love you too.
But nothing comes between two people's passion.
I love him like my own son.
Like one person's jealousy.
He's all alone here. And where's his family? Trip up.
I rebound and shoot. I play guard, forward, power forward. You name the position I play.
Maybe we could pretend for a while, you know?
That is the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
The plan I've come up with is flawless. We're gonna break him up.
You trust Mike?
What's up, man? Why are you tripping?
Just watch your girl, bro. I mean, she and Mike spend an awful lot of time together.
You never used to go out with Mike or anything like that, right?
Michael? He's like my best friend.
But I thought I was your best friend.
Somebody say something to you?
Watch her. They're not just gonna come clean.
Look, is it true you know me or not?
I don't know if it's true or not, but Mike told me that him and Desi were together last night. I don't know what else.
You never give out no love behind my back now, would you?
What? You're the only person I've ever been with. And if you want to be with me, don't ever talk to me like that again, ever.
What is going on with Odin?
I'll be all right, Duke.
I'll be better than all right, son.
I still got your baby.
If he comes at me again, I swear, I'll kill him.
I'm sorry.
Desi was going behind my back. I could deal with that. But all this wondering you got me going through?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Why don't you just forget about her, man?
I love that girl. But I got played.
What are you talking about? Stop it, man.
Yo, it's in my head up. Now somebody here knows the truth. Somebody needs to tell the truth.
From here on out, I say nothing.
I still got your
And so I saw O, and you wouldn't think that Hartnett could play a Loki-type character, but he was so good as the Iago type in that movie that he was just, like, frozen in my mind as the perfect guy to play the comic book Loki. And, of course, it didn't go that way. It ended up going with Tom Hiddleston. And much like with Black Widow, I was always messed up by the fan casting, by having seen what I felt was the perfect actor for this character, and then them not actually getting to play the character. And I've never fully warmed to Tom Hiddleston. I know that, especially after the first Avengers movie, there was like this whole fandom that sprung up around his character and just loved him to pieces. I've seen him in all these movies. I'm still not a big fan. I think he's a fine enough actor. I've enjoyed him in other things. I don't really like him as Loki. I really feel like he's this sort of mushy, soft version of Loki, where I'd want somebody who's more more, you know, malevolent than he ends up being. And the show, of course, essentially turns him into an anti-hero and a sort of a romantic hero. So I feel like the character and the reaction to the character have been altered, you know, irreversibly by these changes. Although I also have to admit that I have not read all these aughts Loki stories that made him more popular within the comics themselves. And maybe that material, I think specifically Kieron Gillen, I think, did a run that was very well received that altered the character and made him more of the protagonist, whereas I'm still used to Loki as an antagonist. But setting that aside and recognizing that Thor is, for me, the weak link of the Marvel movies, that's the area of the Marvel Cinematic Universe I have the least interest in, and by extension, Loki as well. And this was definitely, of the three series that were announced, the least interesting to me of the Disney Plus shows. And really, honestly, I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it, but my girlfriend's a big fan of Tom Hiddleston, big fan of Loki. She was definitely going to watch it. And so I was basically like, well, if she's going to watch it, obviously I'm going to watch it. And given that I don't care about this character, I don't care about his lore, I was not enthused about going into this show, it was so well done that it's like the show carries me just because it's so much better than it needed to be. The Mobius character and Owen Wilson's great. My girlfriend's a big Wes Anderson fan, huge Owen Wilson fan, is one of her favorite actors. I like the guy too, so that helps gear over. I love the aesthetic. I love the humor. I want to shout out the music. Natalie Holt. I want to say that maybe there was some influence of Mark Mothersbaugh and in Ragnarok, and I think Ragnarok in general had a strong influence on this show and some of the directions that it took. But I think that the people went beyond that. It was like, okay, we took that into account. We recognized that we're continuing to do stuff with the Asgardians and shit, and we should carry on some of that flavor from other movies. But I think Natalie Holt's music on this show was so fantastic. This is the only thing that Marvel has ever put out where I would have an interest in buying a soundtrack album, where I would actually want to listen to the score from this show in isolation without even having to watch the show. The music is so excellent, and it gives you such a great vibe. And I think that this is one of the best directed Marvel projects also. The director is Kate Herron, and the whole vibe of the show is different from anything else Marvel's ever done. And it's funny because, again, you've got a lot of female energy on this show. You know, it's, I believe, written by a woman. It's directed by a woman. It's scored by a woman. There's a lot of... any time that there was an option of can we do a male or a female, they went ahead and cast a female person. But what was great is that even though it had that energy, at no point did they ever do any girl power bullshit. It's just a matter of fact, these are the characters. They have to be women, and we're not going to discuss it. And I was very open to that because you know that it's a feminine show without them having to fucking tell it to you and fucking highlight it and underline it and everything else. And I really dug that energy.
No, I agree. And not just women, there are a lot of people of color in this show as well. And I thought, but like you said, they don't throw it in your face. It's just like a really good show.
Yeah.
Like, they just got a lot of nice they have a nice collection of characters. And I'm not ever like, wow, that one really annoys me. That's mm-hmm. terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I just kind of liked everybody. And I don't know how they keep doing this. They keep getting these casts right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important part of these shows. If you put one person on the screen that I just cannot stand, it's going to ruin the whole show anytime that person appears. And they just kind of they seem to have some sort of formula down where they're able to cast these movies and these TV shows correctly. And maybe not cast them to that makes them like the greatest show of all time, but at least the casting doesn't kill the show, which can kill a show. If you just cast like Preacher, for example, the stories were fine. I know in your case, they just cast the wrong dude.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And the casting killed, right?
And what's so sad is the other actors were fine. It's just the lead guy ruined the whole fucking show, like you said.
And thank God that didn't happen in the show.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that you liked it.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out the inclusion of people of color too, because you're right. I never really had to think about it. They were all great. You had some protagonists, you had some antagonists. The race aspect really doesn't ever come into it. It's just we're actors doing our stories, telling our tales, and you don't even have to think about it. They're just all really good at what they're doing. And it's I know there's a lot of people that get really pissed off about social justice warriors and agendas and shit. It's like the show obviously had that in mind because they cast so many different people, but the show isn't about that. It's just a really good show that happens to have good actors that aren't white dudes. They don't make a big deal about it, and it works to their benefit because you don't think about it. You're just going with it, enjoying these characters.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm down for Loki season 2. I'm cool. I like where this is setting up the multiverse. I'm down with the show. I was perfectly happy with Loki.
And what's funny too is I don't care about the TVA as a concept. I don't like the character of Loki. I'm not really interested in the stories that this show is supposed to be representing. I really hate how much DC shit is getting to Marvel right now with all this multiversal stuff and everything. And yet the quality just wins me over. It's so well done that it's like, fuck, okay, you got me. You know, I can't resist your charms. You know, it's just too good.
Well, but like if this was the first season of The Expanse or some random sci-fi show, like this would be good.
Yeah.
Like forget all the MCU stuff. This is just a solid sci-fi movie with bizarre time travel and creature creation and these bizarre planets and Nexus events. And I mean, it was just good. It was just good. I don't know.
And
don't
one thing is nice too is when those timelines start branching out, which definitely feeds into everything we've been seeing in this phase of Marvel, and you know what if's coming, and Fix It Just Came, just the mention of it. But there's also, it really does have this ominous quality to it where it's like, oh fuck, once this multiverse is really getting, you know, its branches out there, what the fuck's going to happen? What is this going to mean? I mean, it might go back to predictions we had years ago with the Infinity movies where it's like, maybe if we've got variants of Loki, then we can have variants of Tony Stark and variants of Captain America, and we may end up ultimately getting to recast those characters after all. But in the case of somebody like Yelena from Black Widow, I would rather just see her continuing to do her adventures. You're a new character rather than a recast character. But we just don't know. We don't know where the fuck this is going to go. We don't know how crazy this is going to get. And it does have this great ominous quality to it. So, you know, I'm there for it. Against my wishes, I'm drug into this because it's just too interesting.
How about you, Mr. Fix It? Any closing comments on this podcast?
No, loved it. Can't wait for season 2.
Is the best of the three Disney Plus shows?
Oh, absolutely. Hands down.
I think it's objectively the best, but I still like Falcon and the Winter Soldier better just because that's more my lane. But it's a really good show.
No, I actually looked forward to Wednesdays. Where the other ones, I was like, well, I'll catch it when I get home. This one, I was like, at midnight Tuesday, I was trying to see if it was on already because I wanted to watch it, and it wasn't. I was really disappointed. So that's how that I knew I was into it as soon as I was going out of my way to try to catch the show ahead of time.
All right, folks. We actually like stuff. It's not always all doom and gloom. We're not all like mad all the time.
It's gonna Permanent Marvelite Maximus followers include Asylum Press and David Leanhart. Shoutouts came from Dirk Ashton and Salacious Rum. Retweet frantic ones include CH, Siskoid, and Talk Nerdy to Me. Keepers of the Favorites Flame include AJ Shadow, Baby Skeletor, Comic Deals, Daily Doom Patrol Haiku, Dave's Comic Heroes Blog, Doc Strange, Jeffrey Brown They Them, John is Watching Cartoons, Marvel Universe Online, MB, Mike It Send Aliens to Me, Nick Spence, The Red Ram, Relatively Geeky, Richard Field, Ryan Daly, Salacious Rum, Scott X, Shanna Banana, Stony Tark, Super Serious 616, Trekker Talk, Wacky Bronze Silver Comic Book Villains, and Wolver Steve. Among the Nuff Sayers, Baby Skeletor wrote, "Those rolled spine guys are real taskmasters, eh? I'm here all night and do birthday parties." Kyle Benning wrote, "Great recap. It makes my heart happy to hear Frank enjoying the recent Marvel installations when he had declared himself done with the MCU after Endgame. Wonder how much of it is the movies shows themselves and how much of that is a reevaluation of role of entertainment post 2020. I'll be honest, I don't think I've done a reevaluation post 2020. We've had so many projects, movies to watch for the podcast and the like that I never really felt like there was a dearth. I thought I was going to be raring to go back to the movies, but most things I wanted to see have been available for streaming, so I just haven't worried that much about it. I think a lot of it just has to do with these individual Marvel products kind of doing their own thing, and with the exception of WandaVision doing it well. Derek William Crabb wrote, "Ben Kingsley is the sexy beast." And I'm sorry, that's the Mandarin, actually. At least until Shang-Chi, right? Shinji70 included a comic book image of the Taskmaster and wrote, "Great podcast as usual, guys. As for Taskmaster's look, I thought they looked cool. The suit reminded me of the more anime-looking Taskmaster from the Udon stuff, which I've always preferred," which I believe was like the Agent X period, early 2000s. Chris Dunford wrote of Black Widow, "Ah, I haven't seen it yet. Illegal Machine offered a I Know What You Did Last Summer gift."
What are you waiting for?
And then Dr. Ange added a Predator gift.
"Do it! Do it!"
Chris concluded, "And now the debut of my $30 GoFundMe."
The Merry Marching Society of the Marvel Superhero Podcast.
Dr. Ange, Anthony S., Canoes, Chris Dunford, Chris Leiden, Dirk Ashton, Ed Moore, Eugene R. Hendricks, Fan Holes Podcast, Guerrilla Film History Now, The Hammer Strikes, Geeky Stuff and Voiceover, History of Comics on Film, Omar De Oliveira, Hulkling, hashtag BLM, hashtag Mask, hashtag GetVax, Iowa's Joe Crawford, Jason Snick Venable, Jenna Reagan, Keith G. Baker, King Size Comics, Giant Size Sun Podcast, Randy Caldwell, Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast, Ronnie Casson, Tim Price the Podcrasher, and Zwit Jameson.
This has been a non-for-profit fan production from Rolled Spine Podcast. Any copyrighted material presented herein are presumed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended. Till next time, Excelsior!
It's going to weird the fucking shit out of people that A, were positive, and B, were coming in under an hour on these fucking things.
No, that you were positive.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Even though you did throw shade, oh, they stole from DC. I'm like, okay, come on.
Like, but dude,
they don't own the rights to time travel.
Dude, we've had like nothing for so long to have like Loki wrap up and be good and then watch Black Widow and Black Widow is good. I'm like jazzed about this shit.
Yeah, it's like maybe Shang-Chi won't suck after all, you know?
Maybe they just do shit trailers like we said earlier. Maybe Shang-Chi doesn't suck. I got a feeling Shang-Chi's going to suck. But, suck bad.
I know you and I had that discussion about the rings. You're like, the rings. I'm like, I'm fine with the bracelet.
They're fucking rings, dude.
Those had better be fucking Fing Fang Foom's rings, and that's why they're.
Exactly.
I told Mac, the only way I'll be pissed is if Fing Fang Foom shows up and he's not wearing purple shorts. If he's not wearing purple shorts.
No, I want a big, fat Dr. Manhattan dog. You know, let's actually see Marvel swing that dick.
I want to see his Fang Foom.
Yeah, he better come out and look very Kirby-esque and be wearing fucking shorts.
I mean, if that's him in the trailer, then he's not Kirby-esque. But
yeah, I'm a little worried. I saw that. I wasn't a big
bro. When they're fighting with the rings in the trailer, it's all fucking like energy whips and shit. Like it's gonna suck, dude. This is dumb. It's gonna be dumb, dude. It's gonna be dumb. But look, lowered expectations. Maybe I'll go in and like it. I don't know. I'm still gonna go see it.
Eternals also had a horrible trailer, so we'll see how that goes too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they do. They lower your expectations, so when you show up, you're like, holy shit, that was actually really good.
Maybe.
Yeah, if that's the plan, good, more power to them, you know, because I like being sucker punched. I like being tricked. I like going in there thinking that this is going to be trash and being won over by it.
I'm sucker punched. You're more like donkey punched, dude, because you hate them already walking in.
Falcon punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently I'm going to go see Black Widow again tomorrow. She's like, we're going. I'm sure there'll be nobody there.
You'll have to let me know how you feel about it a third time.
Yeah, we can record another
one. I really feel like this is going to have good replay value, especially the first two acts. You know, the repartee is so good, and Mac likes comedy anyway, so I think it'll work out fine.
Yeah, I think so. No, I'm not like mad at all. I'm going to grab a giant popcorn and laugh at Red Guardian and Fallopian tubes. It's going to be funny. Dude, I still, can you believe that's Mila Jovovich's daughter?
No, that blows my fucking mind, dude.
As soon as I left the theater, I'm like, I gotta look this old girl up because she looks so much like Mila Jovovich. And I saw that it was her fucking daughter. And I'm like, you're gonna blow your skull off. But I was like, I'm not gonna text him because he probably already knows. And he'd be like, yeah, I know. She was born in like 1997 or whatever, fucking 2006 on April 30th. Like, you already know because you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you didn't know. But I'm
totally. Caught me by surprise. I want to say Lynn Wiseman has actually done, I think he was an executive producer on like The Gifted or something. So I guess you have a Marvel connection because I assume that would be his kid at her age because I think they've been together that long. No, wait. Never mind. I'm thinking of the wrong person. It's Paul W.S. Anderson, not Lynn Wiseman. Ignore me. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Easy mistake to make, but wrong. That was Underworld, not Resident Evil. Never mind.
Her name is Ever Anderson. That's her name.
And I don't think I ever mentioned the director. Name Kate Shortland. I was very happy with her work. I think she had, when she got to do her movie, I thought that she had a nice visual style, and I'm looking forward to seeing her do other Marvel projects.
Agreed. So she was in Resident Evil the Final Chapter. Did she like?
Oh, she one of the clones or something?
She was young Alicia Marcus / the Red Queen.
That's another thing I need to work on too. Is we recorded those two parts of the Resident Evil series of podcasts and haven't gotten back to it. So that's something that needs to be re-explored at some point. But yeah, I have not seen the movie since theatrical because it was such a drag.
Are you recording yet?
Yeah, I've got to hit the button. But where's Fixit though? I haven't heard from him.
I'm here. Yeah.
Hey,
everybody, welcome. What are we recording?
Oh, Loki.
Oh, okay.
Loyal Loki Bugatti.